Hej och välkomna till Italienpodden med mig, Sara Emilia Nysén. Jag sitter idag i ett ganska mulet Stockholm tillsammans med Alessandra Quarta som tillsammans med sin pappa gör vin på vingården Claudio Quarta i södra Italien. De gör vin både i Apulien och i Kampanien. Men idag så kommer vi att fokusera på regionen Kampanien som alltså ligger i södra Italien på den italienska västkusten. Den här regionen kanske mest är känd för turister för staden Napoli, ruinerna i Pompeji, ön Capri och den vackra Amalfikusten. Men det här är också ett område med en väldigt lång vinmakarhistoria. Ett av Italiens allra mest historiska viner, Falernum, kommer härifrån. Och det var ett vin som var väldigt högt ansett redan under romartiden. Och romarna gav också Kampanien namnet Campania Felix, som på latin betyder lyckliga eller tursamma Kampanien. Och det hänger samman med den otroligt bördiga jorden där man odlar väldigt mycket grönsaker, oliver och också druvor. I modern tid så har Kampanien liksom övriga södra Italien fokuserat mycket på kvantitet och bulkviner. Man har sålt en del vin till norra Italien och till andra länder. Men många producenter under några decennier tillbaka har gjort stora ansträngningar för att ändra på det här ryktet och förbättra vinmakartekniken. Och man satsar också mer och mer på de unika inhemska druvorna. Så nu ska vi få höra Alessandra berätta om den här fantastiska regionen och vinerna därifrån. Welcome, Alessandra.
Grazie. Glad to have you. Tack. Yeah. So happy to be here. Thank you, Sara.
Happy to meet you. Can you please tell us about this lovely region, Campania, and what makes it special to make wine in this area?
Thank you. I'm really proud to be speaking of this amazing region in Italy, which is not my hometown, my home region, but it's my second. Campania, I believe that if we look at it from a national perspective, it really offers a unique combination of micro-territories that cannot be replicated anywhere else. Italy is well known for its biodiversity. We have more than 1,200 varietals, indigenous varietals cultivated in the nation. But some regions really have the highest percentage of biodiversity. And looking at Campania, if we consider it on the map, and as you mentioned, we have Napoli on the Gulf, we have the beautiful Amalfi Coast, and then we have the mountains. So we go from a mountain to altiplans on the coast within 40 kilometers. Mm. So we have a broad biodiversity, a broad collection of micro-territories only in one region. That leads also to a production that is so extraordinarily different from a specific province to the other. And as you were mentioning Campania Felix, historically, we have been producing in the different provinces a broad diversity of products that still today are considered exquisite for an international public.
Mm. That's tomatoes.
Only, yes.
Mozzarella.
Absolutely.
Olive oil.
Yes, yeah. Olive oil. And then we have the grains that allow us to make the pasta or the dough. Mm. Of course, we have the grapes. Today, the products from Campania are exported all around the world, up to Japan and to United States. Here in Stockholm.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness!
We have a lot of Italian products.
You go Campania to a supermarket products. And everything looks Italian, right?
We love Italy.
You love Italy. I've seen that. So we are very proud with my family to be part of this movement that is trying to bring to the southern regions the attention that they deserve, also in terms of winemaking.
Yeah.
Because today we look at a world atlas of wines, and still southern Italy and the islands can be summarized in a couple of pages, while there are pages and pages on Toscana and Piemonte. There are regions, of course, extraordinary that I love, but there is, I think, only a cultural and historical reason, why the regions from southern Italy are less known, not a quality element.
Definitely. But there has been big changes also, right? Because I mentioned in the introduction that for long, southern Italy has been connected to bulk wine and big quantity of wine.
Yes.
And now you, among other producers, are trying to change this reputation and make qualitative wine and make the world realize this, right?
Yeah.
But can you tell me a bit about, because I know there is a special area within Campania, which is a very diverse region, which is very unique for winemaking, and that is the Avellino province, Irpinia.
Here we are.
Tell us about the conditions for winemaking there.
First of all, Irpinia is the land of the wolves, because Irpos is the Greek name for wolf. Yes, we are kind of the most suitable environment for wolves and also wild boars. There are a lot of wild animals living in the forest in Irpinia. What is really special is that we are so close to the coast, 1 hour away from Amalfi, 1 hour away from Napoli, but we go up on the hills and up on the mountains. And all these incredible twists of small roads and little altitudes intertwined create so many different micro-territories.
Mm.
And these micro-territories have historically specialized in the production of one single variety of grape, which is pretty unique. I mean, in Irpinia, we have three DOCGs. That is a sign that can tell us, first of all, that there is a wine culture that is pretty deep. Taurasi was the first DOCG in southern Italy to be recognized. And having three DOCGs in just one province is a pretty high number. But what's special about these three DOCGs is that each one found historically its ideal place where to grow. So if we look at the history of Irpinia, we have been the land of the reigns of Federico II and many others. It's a land that's full of castles, of monasteries. Historically, it's really fascinating. Today, the specialization is in producing, as you mentioned, olive oil, wine, and also hazelnuts. Did you know?
No, I didn't know.
A little bit like
Piemonte.
Yeah, that's why we are often compared to Piemonte. Mm. The Taurasi is the Barolo of the South. And as I like to say, the Irpinians say that the Barolo is the Taurasi of the North.
Of course.
But yeah, so
maybe
we
shouldn't compare.
No, we're just joking.
Yeah.
Every area is specialized in a single production. So we are in Tufo. And Tufo is a unique territory that we selected, as I was saying, that is not where I was born, and that is not my hometown, but my father, when he decided to dedicate his life to winemaking, he picked Tufo for its extraordinary character and the possibility to grow the most exquisite grapes that we have found in our long research. Well, because if you look at the area, so we are on the hills, we have availability of minerals in the soil.
From the volcano, of course.
And Vesuvio, yes, and, right? And the influence of the volcano, because in the past the volcano completely covered this area, the Vesuvius in Napoli completely covered this area, and the ashes are still an element that characterizes the soil. But also in Tufo in the 80s, there was this huge mine of sulfur that brought richness to the territory, development. And many people came to Tufo to work at the mines. And that depicts that availability of sulfur in the soil. And when you have a glass of Greco di Tufo in your hands and you think of that, you can actually definitely relate the notes that you have to these minerals. Mm. Also, we have the stone of Tufo, which is the Tufo, the stone that gives the name to the town itself. Mm. So it's a soil that is extremely rich, and it has various elements that characterize it. And even from 100 meters change in altitude, you're gonna find a different again
expression.
Yes.
Yeah, we tried two different Greco di Tufo yesterday at the tasting, and that was very interesting to see the different characters from the more northern side and the more southland. Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is that within this area of Irpinia there is much diversity and many different microclimates, and that these three, because we're talking about three DOCGs with three main grapes, and that is Aglianico.
Yes, Aglianico, which leads to the DOCG of Taurasi.
And then we have Greco.
Greco di Tufo.
Greco di Tufo, and then we have
Fiano di Avellino.
And you're saying that these grapes have found their homes in different spots, right?
Yeah. In fact, I always argue about the word indigenous not to be ever appropriate, because we are part of a whole, and this whole in terms of wine comes from Georgia, and it comes from where viticulture started. Everything then developed around the Mediterranean area, went to Greece, and then from Greece it was brought to Italy. Well, Italy was part of Greece. And so the exchanges of commercial goods were very easy. And let's speak of Greco, for example. Greco means Greek in Italian, and it comes from Greece, in fact. And it was cultivated all throughout Italy, also in Puglia, also in Basilicata. But when it arrived to Tufo, at this amazing little spot in the Apennines, it found its home. And it found the best combination with the soil. And if you look at the Greco, how it grows in Tufo, well, it's really cute. I adore Greco di Tufo. Is the bunch is medium to small. It's so precious. You can hold it in your hands like a cuddling a little pet. And but it's so strong. It's just finds its character right there with this combination of minerality from the soil, the altitude that enhances the aromas of the grapes with an extraordinary climate excursion from day to night. So it really brings us to understanding why it found its home there. And what's really special is that you're never gonna find a cultivation of Greco di Tufo in the area of Labio, where it's the home of Fiano di Avellino. And likewise, you're not gonna find these white grapes in the area of Taurasi, where there's only cultivation of Aglianico. It's really something unique that we have in Irpinia.
Unique place for wine growing.
Absolutely. Also historically, as we were mentioning in the rains that happened, this these wines were known also in those times to be so precious. So they were served at the most exclusive banquets.
Mm. What about, because we talked about the influence from volcano, of course, which is fundamental. But then I know that this area, it's hilly. It's also special climate compared to other places in Campania, right?
Yeah. So in Campania, absolutely. And also I would say in the whole Italy. Because this combination of elements put in a region in southern Italy really take us to another dimension. Because the sun exposure that we have in these long summers that lead us to harvesting in end of September and up until beginning of November are enabling the grapes to mature nicely, so to have a slow maturation of aromas, and so both phenolic and alcoholic maturation.
So you have this big excursion between day and night temperatures, right? So
yes.
Can it snow in this area?
Yes, it gets to snow, and sometimes we pick the grapes in a snowy environment, which which is something that for you here in Sweden
right
is no, it's not. No. It's not right now. It's I think raining just like it is here.
Yeah.
But
it's exotic to imagine south of Italy, and then you have this amazing sunshine and snow.
Yeah. Amazing
big
sunshine.
Contrast.
Yeah, you said well, it's a bit, little bit like Etna, to make a comparison. I believe with a broader diversity of micro territories, because then Etna is all around the volcano, the area for that we consider the Etna region for wines. Mm. If you look at Irpinia, you will have an area that is more influenced by the volcano, and then an area that is more up on the mountains, and one that is more down on the hills. Okay. So there is a broader diversity of micro territories.
Mm.
But in terms of how extreme the change of the weather is, you can compare it a little bit to Etna.
Mm. So what way does this influence the wine? Can you tell us just shortly about these three DOCGs? What styles of wine can we expect? Staurassi, Greco di Tufo, Chiano di Avellino. How would you describe them?
Well, to make a brief overview of the three, I think I can speak in a general way, because wine from Campania has changed a lot over the years, especially if we look at the Taurasi. Taurasi used to be a very difficult wine coming from Aglianico, which is a super tannic varietal. It needs a long aging to be suitable for every palate. But that brought in the past to having wines that were very dusty, earthy and dusty, sometimes with a breath. So they were not so easy at first, because this long aging in the big barrels led to having these wines that were kind of felt a little bit like they were old at the time you were drinking them. They were not so clean.
Wow.
Luckily, the style has changed a little bit because of the major exposure that we've had to an international public, which is requiring cleaner wines, more suitable for everyone. And so Taurasi has changed, and in my opinion, it remains one of the most important wines that we have in Italy, because the ability to age and the acidity that you have in the Aglianico from Taurasi and the complexity on the palate is something that really can be shocking if you approach it for the
very
first time.
Strong, present tannins, but still of freshness.
Yes.
And regarding the tannins, perhaps winemakers today are more aware of how to handle the tannins.
Yeah.
The grapes.
I think so. I think, I mean, we've always been a region very knowledgeable for wine, but technology also allows to be more aware of the data and, you know, to really have a more detailed recognition of the product. And then looking at Greco and Fiano, they are like brothers, but they are a diverse universe. Each one of them is a diverse universe. In fact, they are never compared. They are separated brothers, which have developed their own identity. And people in Irpinia tend to look at each one with so much regards, because both of them have an extraordinary character. So it's hard to say which one you like best.
Of course.
Greco di Tufo has a lot of structure. In fact, Pliny the Elder, in its writings, said that it was a red wine dressed in white, because of its structure.
So more full-bodied than the Fiano.
Yeah. So maybe if we have a blind tasting of Greco, someone would not be able to recognize if it's white or a red wine. That's the idea, because of its structure, which is proven also chemically. I mean, it really has a complexity.
It has quite a good potential for aging.
Absolutely. Mm. Both Greco and Fiano have this potential. I've done a tasting of Greco di Tufo from another producer from my same town, Tufo. And we went back to the 60s and we tasted some wines, and they were still extraordinarily fresh and acidic.
Wow.
So,
and
super
taste
nice.
Wise, I know that they differ between winemakers, of course, and areas, but how would you describe this to those who don't know them? Greco di Tufo.
Absolutely.
And,
you mentioned the tropical sensation. And in fact, Greco is often considered a wine that has this complexity that goes from citrus to mango or banana or some other amazingly rich and flavorful tropical fruit.
Yeah.
And that is really amazing. Fiano, instead, is more herbaceous, but it changes a lot over time. So we highly recommend to save some of the bottles that you buy of the current vintage and drink it over time. Especially Fiano develops some fiume aromas, very elegant. Mm. So it's really something conquering over time. I'm really fascinated by the evolution of the Fiano.
Yeah,
I can't explain it, but...
You have to try it yourself.
You have to try it.
Wow. But we were talking a bit about the changes through time. Can you say something more about what has happened in this area when it comes to winemaking technology, but also the mentality of the winemakers? I know Of course, there is this legend, Mastro Berardino, that has done a lot for the area. What is the state of winemaking today in Campania?
We're speaking of a region that has a long history in winemaking. So, first of all, we respect that. And I think that thanks to the micro-territories, the grapes are growing in a very healthy environment where they really seem to be the good fit for the place. Sometimes you have the feeling that some regions are growing grapes that are probably not the best selection. But all of these three that we mentioned seem to be in their home, as we were saying earlier. So we start from a high condition.
Yeah.
But what I have seen is a culture of people very linked to their territories. In fact, there is in Campania the frequency of buying grapes from the growers, because a family will not just sell its family vineyard.
Mm.
It will pass it on to the next generation.
Mm.
And it will always be something that family will lead. And then they will offer the grapes to the winemaker who will transform them. But they're very linked to their territories. So this is beautiful.
And the young people, are they interested in cultivating this heritage?
Well, I mean, just like all the regions in Italy, there has been slowly but steadily and a little abandon of the outside of the towns, of these rural areas that going to the cities, yeah, or going abroad to find new opportunities. But I can easily compare it to Puglia. Puglia is now seeing a renaissance because of the tourism, especially. But if we look at Puglia from 10 or 15 years ago, there was a lot less culture for agriculture that there is in Campania, or there was in Campania. So actually, this what it means that in spite of this slow abandon of these rural areas, there is still a connection.
Mm.
So people are still interested in keeping the family tradition going on.
People feel linked to that territory and the tradition.
They really do. They're really attached.
And there seems to be like this tendency, not only in Campania, but in general right now, to rediscover the varieties. Because I know that even in Campania, there have been cultivations of other grapes that maybe are easier to grow or better suited for the market and so. But
yeah, also
do you feel that there's this will to rediscover the unique varieties?
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes, I was saying also those that go beyond the DOCGs are more easy to produce in the different areas, so you don't have to stay in the rules of the DOCG, and that allows liberty and diversity, which is leading today more and more young winemakers or young entrepreneurs to start new businesses in Irpinia and in Campania in general, which was very rare until 10, 15 years ago. Mm. For example, when we started, we were the only foreigners in Campania, in Irpinia.
Yeah, yeah.
So we were looked at, what are these people doing here? This is only for locals. But today,
so more people focusing on the quality and maybe the identity of this region.
Yeah. More people desiring to take the chance to express the territory through their vision.
Mm.
So it's changing because we are leaving behind the big companies and moving towards smaller producers, focusing on different productions, Pili Rosso is really trendy right now. Casavecchia was rediscovered just 20 to 30 years ago. So there is a lot going on. Also, so many.
And talking about this young people working with the heritage of a region, your own history, I'm interested in your own motivation, because I know you're not from Campania. I know you lived abroad and you lived in northern Italy. So what made you feel like this passion, this drive to do something from the south of Italy? And
well, thank you for the question. I've had the luck of being able, yes, to move from an area to the other, first with my family and then through my studies. So with my family, we lived in Pennsylvania, United States, and that was just when my dad decided to change his life and become a winemaker with his heritage as a biologist and as a genetist. So we have this culture that we have brought into our company in wine. And then myself, I studied economics in Milan and then worked for UNESCO in Italy in the management of the national heritage. And that was exactly what I was thinking, what I was seeing for my future. In terms of employment. But thanks to my mentor in those years who brought me with her on trips to South America to support little rural communities and to do projects of integration of people that were coming from the civil war. I did something that really changed my vision. And I thought that I had the chance to bring my vision of culture into the industry of wine. So wine, for me, in the beginning, was mainly a cultural thing. And then I developed the attachment to the juice itself. I felt like there was a potential that was still not expressed of telling the story of the territory through its traditions, through its work, heritage, this non-written heritage that all the peasants and the people working in the fields pass on to the next generation. And somehow, in my terms, and I'm not such an expert, but I try to connect the two worlds. So not only speak of the wine in terms of the juice, of this amazing produce from the region, but also speaking of the territory themselves and the culture that is behind it.
I think it's beautiful. I mean, wine is definitely cultural heritage.
Yes.
And I love it that you have this perspective on it. And also you have the economics. So you have, wine is also economy. So
yes.
You have a good background.
Well, thank you. Hopefully. And yeah, today is more and more important to focus on the economy as well, because unfortunately in these hard times, many small producers have given up because they weren't able to face all the crisis in the markets and the lifting of prices.
Yeah.
So it's important also to have a background in management and in economics, so to allow the small companies to go on and proceed in their effort.
Because winemaking is complex. We were talking earlier today, it's not only about it's about sustainability, it's about economics, and also about transmitting this heritage.
Yes.
So it's a lot of aspects.
It's a long journey from the vigna, from the grapes, the plants. There are so many variables that you have to take into consideration And then when the grapes arrived to the winery also, and then, I mean, I'm here in Stockholm having the opportunity to speak with you and, you know, promoting the territory, promoting my family production.
So this is a nice opportunity for Swedes to discover a bit of what Campania can be, because this is an area which is not really well known in Sweden for its wine, generally speaking. So I think there's a lot still to discover.
Hopefully we put some interest in the minds of our listeners. And
definitely.
I think what we're missing in terms of development of the region still today is a major interest also for these wine regions, because Campania is always a destination for tourists, but Napoli and the coast.
Yeah.
So we need more people to come to Irpinia, to come to Avellino and Benevento and discover the fascination of these areas.
And I will come there.
Yes. Well, you are on the top of the list.
Super. Lovely. But what about the future, if you think about the goals and challenges, both for this region and personally and for your winery? How do you see, how do you envision the future? What's ahead of you?
Oh, this is a big question. And there are many things that come to my mind. We were speaking earlier during our coffee about sustainability in the production. I think we are seeing a collapse of many of what have been some major references in the industry, and especially in agriculture. So today there is this major interest for natural wines, for organic productions, but this is only a symptom, I believe, of the need of a major change. So this major change may be translated into a complete different approach to growing grapes or to growing whatever one is producing. So I think we will see something that is going to be really exciting in the future, as more and more people are seeking for that and are seeking for the right way to pursue their objective. And in terms of development of the region, I believe sustainability in an economical way, as we were mentioning, also comes from the development of an integration of the producers, of the consortio. So we need to develop more these wine roads that lead the passionate for wines all throughout the region. And we need to develop more services in terms of transportation, and the restaurants and the hotels must be more connected to the products that they are offering during the stay, so that tourism can be an experience of the whole territory, not just the beauty of a view, of a comfortable room, of a nice lunch and dinner, but a discovery of the whole territory and an integration of the value of each product that is selected.
To make people really come to Campania also for the wines and to understand the value.
So it's, I mean, there are many things that are on my list of next steps to take in growing the vines, also in winemaking. I think we need to be more flexible, and hopefully the wine industry is demonstrating that there is space for that. There is space for a little bit more of liberty, and hopefully everyone can fulfill their dream.
Yeah. Wonderful. I definitely have high hopes for this region in the future, and You do a very good job, so complimenti. Yes. And thank you so much for coming here and speaking to us.
Lovely to be here and chatting with you.
And enjoy the rest of your days in Stockholm.
Thank you.
See you soon.
Ciao, ciao.
Ciao, ciao.